Bibles, if you would, to Psalms chapter 56 tonight. Psalms chapter 56. You know, being up there today, it's always hard, and I know Brother Bruce can relate to this, but gathering around the family, and they've got a loved one dying, and even though they're saved, it's never easy. It always hurts. There's always pain. But you know, we that are saved, we ought to be able to handle situations differently. Doesn't mean that you're not going to miss them, you don't have pain, but when you have someone that's dying and going to heaven, you ought to be able to handle it differently. You ought to be able to handle other situations in your life differently. Pain, fear, sufferings, trials, tribulations, we all have them. The world's watching. The thing that they, if you want to have someone and you want to invite someone to be a Christian, they have to see some inner strength in you when you're going through those things. They have to see you depending upon the grace of God and understanding that the grace of God is sufficient for all of our needs. Whatever we face, God's grace is sufficient. And he gives us, and we're able, and I told Polly when I got there this morning, they called me this morning and thought she was going to pass away, and I got there and she was able to talk just a second, and I guess I was probably the last one she really said anything to, and I asked her if she'd like for me to pray with her, and she said, yes, I'd like for you to pray with me. And so I prayed, and it was good to be able to pray to know that someone had made preparations, to know that they had trusted Christ and they had served the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, and I've told you, but the hardest thing there is to have to deal with someone who waits to the last minute and they give their whole life to the devil and the world and wait till the last minute, then they make a pretense of having some type of conversion. Now, do I believe it's possible? Yes. Do I believe it's practical? Not very often. Most of the time, if you notice at the end, their mental capacity, medications, all those things, you have to get deeper than this to get saved. You have to go from here to down to here. And you have to get into the soul. And a person's got to be able to reason. They've got to be able to weigh out and make that decision. That's why I would encourage you, if you're not saved, don't wait till the last minute and try to find it. You better find Christ while he's available. Tonight we want to study in chapter 56 of Psalms, and you'll begin reading with me. David says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rasp my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape my iniquity? By iniquity, in thy anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Now let me say this in getting your mind on the context of this. If you look back up at the top of your Bible, most of you will find a couple things. in Psalms 56, most of you will see, to the chief musician. Is that written in most of your Bibles? And notice there, there's Jonath, Elam, Rekohim, or Kim. Now, if you look at that, what that means, from what I understand, the translation of that is a silent dove is in distant places. Now, when you read this, you're reading about a time, and in Psalms chapter 34, you find a twin to this psalm, but you find that David has been running from Saul. He's been fleeing from Saul, and Saul wanting his death. And for some strange reason, David decided to go to the land of the Philistines, to Gath. And he got there, and he thought he could go in there unnoticed, and yet he went there, and they captured him and put him in prison. He is among his enemies. Now, in chapter 34, some people think he wrote that psalm after he was released, and this one here, while he was in there. But whatever and whenever it was, he was like the silent dove in distant places. He was in a place he should not have been. He was out of sorts of where he should have been. He should not have been with Philistines. Now, you got to remember, David killed a giant named Goliath. You know where he was from? Gath, from the same place that David went to. Now, how silly is that? Now, you have to remember that David, being God's servant, had many special privileges. But he had a land in which God was blessing him. And now David was anointed, you know, early by Samuel. And he knew that he would be king one day. But Saul, you know how that they would sing songs of David, or Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000. Saul got jealous and trying to kill David. And yet David didn't harm him because he was the anointed king. And he was waiting for his turn for God to open the door. Now, David's life during that time was not easy. He had a lot of battles. He had to flee, he had to sleep in caves, he had to hide out, he had several things. But David had something. He had promises from the Word of God. You see, he was in a prison here, and by the way, John Phillips, I was reading something he wrote about this, and he made this point, and it stuck out to me, and I never had noticed it. But this was the only place that David ever feared man. David was a brave guy. He evidently was a warrior. I mean, when you read the life of David, the Bible says that when he went and he went to over there to fight, or he went to see his brothers, and whenever Goliath was making fun of God, he wasn't going to let anybody make fun of God. He was going to go down there and fight. And he told him that he had done a couple things. Anybody remember what he'd done in his time keeping the sheep? What he'd done? Huh? Killed a lion and killed a what? And you know what it says about the lion? It says he got him right by the beard. In other words, he got close and personal with him. And what I'm trying to tell you is that guy had some bravery. Whenever he went, he was a little fellow, and he looked down there and saw Goliath, that big giant down there. He wasn't afraid at all. He wasn't afraid of what man would do. He just didn't like someone that was going to mock his God. And he went down there in the name of his Lord to slay that giant. And he did it. But here, he's afraid. What brought this fear on? What brought the fear on was this. There was a land that God blessed David. There was places that David was not to be. In other words, kind of like Job talks about, God had built a hedge around David. He blessed David. But David got out of the hedge. He got in the enemy's territory. He was no longer being blessed, and he was taken captive. Now he thought, and by the way, before he got there, he went and he got some weapons, and he got Goliath's sword. Now, how stupid was it to take Goliath's sword into the city of Gath and not think that somebody wasn't going to recognize who he was? And he went in there, and all of a sudden, they not only recognized him, but they probably hated him. They probably wanted vengeance upon him a long time ago there on the mountain of Elim when he went down the valley there and slew Goliath. And Israel began to go after the Philistines, and they began to flee from them, and several of them was killed that time. Probably some of their relatives was killed. And here David went in there, and he was taken captive. Now, we need to get this a moment and think about this. The reason why David here, and we'll see this in a few moments and we'll bring it out. The reason why David was afraid is because the enemies was against him here. All the other battles that he fought was the enemies against God and the things of God. And so therefore he stood strong. But now look, if you would, real quickly, and let me say this. If you go back into chapter 55, he's going through trials and troubles there, but the troubles are caused by his friends and by his family. Here, they're caused by his foes, his enemies. Can I tell you this? Somebody says, well, any trouble is the same trouble. No, when it comes from your friends and family, it really hurts. Any ever been betrayed by your friends and family? You know, have you ever been hurt? That hurts. But here he was around his enemies. Now notice in verse 1 and 2, first thing he asked God for was what? Mercy. You know why? He was placed where he shouldn't have been, doing something he shouldn't have been doing. How many times do we find ourselves there? How many times do we get ourselves in a fix and then we have to turn to God to ask him to show mercy upon us? Oh man, we don't want to ask God to give us what we deserve, but be merciful, God. Look where I've got myself into. And so here, David come and he said, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. In other words, he said, all this is coming against me. It's just about too much for me. I'm getting it from every direction. Now you got to picture this. As a matter of fact, I think he says it in the very next verse or on down there later on. He said, my enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most, thou most high. Now notice, first of all, that the word man there, from what I understand, means and reminds that he is nothing but flesh, weak. In other words, he's someone that is not all that. He's just a man, a mere mortal. And so here, these mere mortals are coming against him. He said they're coming from every direction. There are many of them. But he calls upon God. Now notice it's capital G, little old D, Elohim. Elohim, you'll find that that word, the different spellings of God, depends on whether it's Elohim, Jehovah, or Adonai. Now here, in the beginning, the Bible says God, Elohim, created the heavens and earth. He says, okay, creator of the earth, mere mortal, these mortals down here want me. He said, but I'm calling upon you, the one that created the heavens and the earth. They're nothing compared to you. They're all over me. They want to swallow me up. Yes, I'm in a place I should not be. I need your mercy, God. But he calls upon God, Elohim. Then he calls upon, in verse 2, the Most High. The Most High, what he's trying to get across is, that he is the lofty one, the one that's able, that's above all others, that he can call upon, the one that's mighty and able to handle and exalted. See, men was trying to exalt himself against David. Now you got to remember, David here. Now picture this in your mind. I always try to get a mind picture when I read the Bible. And I don't know what David looked like, but we know that David was a very good-looking young-looking man. And now here he was. I can see David. He's in prison. You can see the Philistines, the guards all around them. You can see them going back and forth, hollering, making all kinds of remarks. As a matter of fact, later on in this psalm, he talks about what they're saying to him, and that they're throwing all these remarks at him, and they're saying things day and night. They just constantly. Imagine, they were probably thinking like Samson. They were going to make sport out of him because here he was a hero of Israel, and they had captured him. Now, we know later on that he plays like he's mad or something. But I want you to notice here that David, he gets beyond himself and he says, now, these mortal men are going to attack me and they're all around me and what all this is going on, but God, compared to you, they're nothing. Now, notice what else. Look on down just a moment. Then he says in verse number 3, what time I am afraid, I will what? You know why he could trust in God? You know what he had going for God for him? He had the Word of God. You know what God had promised him? That he would reign upon the throne. And here he was in a Philistine prison. He was not going to die in no Philistine prison because God done told him he was going to reign. Now, he could have killed Saul already, but he chose not to. He was not going to harm and hurt God's anointed. And so therefore, he was waiting until God cleared the way for him. But he had the Word of God promising him that he was going one day to sit upon the throne. And so here, he said, now what time I'm afraid, and all these people's walking by my prison cell, hollering these things, and they're talking about what they're going to do to me. And I'm sure they were talking about how they were going to kill him, and they were going to probably have a good time doing it. I say they're going to make it long and painful. And they were going to just make it, and I'm sure that began to sort of like a brainwashing. It kind of began to affect David, and he began to think, and here he found himself because he was out of the hedge, he was out of the shelter of the land that God had put him in, and he was over in the land of Philistines. He began to fear. But then he come to reason with who he had. He had somebody with him. He had somebody that was on his side. And so therefore he called to God. He said, God, you creator, this is just mortal man. They want to swallow me up, but thou most high. He said, you just exalt yourself. I want to exalt you in this. Look on in verse number 4. He says, in God, I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In other words, he said, God, I have your promise. Your promise is to me. And I told Polly today, sitting at the hospital, I told her, Polly, all we have is the Word of God. We can't see beyond. And I said, we can't see beyond today. And I've told her this before, sitting talking to her about death, because they've told her for some time she was dying. I said, we can't see beyond. All we can do is have the Word of God. We trust Him, what He said. The Bible says, Thy Word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the Word of God abideth forever. In other words, we have the Word of God, and that is the most precious thing. This is the greatest gift that God ever left us other than Jesus. Because we can count on this being truth. Whatever it says, we can believe in. I've never seen heaven, but I believe heaven is as real as Burnside. But by the way, can I say this? I don't get where some people want to believe in heaven, but they won't believe in hell. The same Bible tells you about both. And so what you have to do is you have to take it all or take nothing. You either believe in the Word of God or you don't. Somebody said, well, I believe some things in the Bible. No, that's not the way it works. What parts don't you believe? That's what I asked somebody who wanted to change. I said, what parts are you going to change? In other words, somebody said, well, I believe it contains some of the Word of God. I said, well, which part is it? Well, I don't know. Then I said, how are you going to know what to believe, what not to believe? I just believe all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. I believe it's God-breathed, and I believe it's inerrant, and I believe it's infallible. I believe whatever the Word of God says, it's going to do. I don't understand how He takes a soul and gets them to heaven, but you know, to be honest with you, I don't even understand. We sing that song sometimes. I can tell you the time. I can take you to place, but I can't tell you how, and I can't tell you why. I don't understand still yet how God takes an old sinner. He saves our soul by the blood of Jesus. We get underneath the blood of Jesus, God looks upon us, and we're righteous. Yet we're still committing sin in our lives. That's hard to understand, ain't it? Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't ever sin. Well, yeah, the Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just forgive us his, cleanses of all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. And the truth's not in us. In other words, we need to understand. I don't understand how God saves us and how he does. But he does by us believing. Somebody said, well, preacher, how do we believe? By faith. Somebody said, well, I just want to see something. Well, you don't see something being salvation. Well, all you got to see is Jesus, high and lifted up. You see him, you believe upon him. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by what? The word of God. Everything that we believe upon to be saved comes from this right here. The Bible says, for it's by the foolishness of preaching that it pleases God to save those which believe. In other words, it's the word of God that we believe. And therefore, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And sometimes people say, well, preacher, I'm having a hard time with the security of my salvation because I just want God to show me a sign. He don't give you a sign. He gives you his word. His word is better than a sign. When he tells you something, you can take it. And so David here, all of a sudden, his fear left him and faith come on. When he began to think about, now he was sitting here hearing all this day and night, walking by and they're going to kill him, they're going to do all these things. I'm sure they were saying everything in the world. And he began to fear. First time in his life he ever feared a man. But then he began to think about Elohim, God that created the Most High. And he began to cry out and he said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee and I will praise his word. Look in verse 5. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. In other words, he said, they have one thing on their mind. They want to tear me apart. They just want to do something terrible to me. In verse 6, they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. And when they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity and thy anger cast down the people, O God. In other words, he said, they spy on me. They wait on me. They just try every way in the world to find a way to agonize me. And he said, Lord, I want you to do something. He said, I want you to, in verse number seven, he said, shall they escape by iniquity? In thy anger cast down the people, O God. He said, righteous indignation. Lord, in your righteous indignation, strike them down. Now, he didn't know how God was going to get them out of this mess, but he knew this. He knew, number one, that he made the mess. And he didn't know what God was going to do, but he knew this, that he had the word of God that he would sit upon the throne of Israel. And so he knew this was not going to be his end. He didn't know how. And you know, sometimes we get in situations that we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how we're going to get out of it. But there's only one thing that we have. That's the word of God. I'll never forget, and you've heard me talk about this many times. I was sharing this with a preacher from Denham Street. He was telling me something and telling me something that he'd went through. And I told him, I said, when I first come down this church, and now none of you, other than my kids and my wife, was here. None of the rest of you were here when I first came. And Brother Porter was, but he's not here tonight. But I'll never forget, the church began to grow. The richest man probably that we ever had in this congregation was here. I'd say he probably had more money than anybody else I've ever had pastor under this church. And the church had never taken on missions, and I wanted them to understand the missions. And we decided that we would take on missions, and we voted to give $25 a month to Brother Raymond Sorrells. He was in New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, if you know Brother Raymond. And he was in Papua New Guinea as a missionary. And he was the only negative vote I ever got to church. And I got the negative vote to take on missionaries from him. He said the church couldn't afford it. And I promise you, and Chris will tell you, When we first came here, we'd go out with him sometimes, and every time he'd pull a stack of $100 bills that thick out of his pocket on the paperclip. And yet he said the church would go broke if we paid $25 a month for a missionary. And he was so adamant against it, he tried his best to split the church. I found out he was calling people behind my back. He was trying to dissuade people from coming. And all kinds of things was happening. And boy, I got broken. I was a young pastor. I didn't know what to do. I cried a thousand. You was talking about that stain that was here around the mourning bench, Brother Junior? I cried a thousand tears. I didn't know how to handle it. I could see all the work that we saw people being saved, we saw things happen, and I could see it just being tore all to pieces. Now I went to God and I said, God, I don't understand what I'm to do. What am I to do? How am I to stop? And he gave me a verse that night. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And my wife will tell you, I went home and every room I had something that had that verse on it. I was constantly reminded of every time that I got in a situation and I got worried, I would look at that verse. And what time I was afraid, I trusted in Him. And I said, Lord, I studied that verse out. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to wait upon You. I hate to see this church split over something. And I'm just going to trust You. And I don't know how You're going to work it out, but Lord, I'm going to trust You. And it wasn't long till He left. His wife and children stayed behind. He was the only one I lost in the whole church. That year, instead of giving $25, we gave $25,000 to missions. And from that point on, we've increased. But you know what I learned? I learned that God values our tears. Look at the very next verse. The Bible says in verse 9, when I cried unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is with me. And in verse number 8, he said, thou tellest my wanderings, put my tears into thy bottles. Are they not in thy book? In other words, he said, listen, God. He said, I know You see all things. He said, I know You see my tears. And you know, I wept. And you know, I learned a lot because I looked in the Bible. I began to follow the weeping where Jesus wept and other people wept and why they wept and different things that brought about tears. Sometimes we think, as men, we think it's too manly to weep. But can I tell you a secret, folks? That's why our church is not where they need to be today, because we quit weeping. You know, Dad used to tell me, and Dad pastored for 47 years. He said, used to when they had revivals, for the first week, they'd always have 2 or 3 week revivals. For the first week, the parents would come down, and people would come down, and they would that had lost children and lost brothers and mothers and husbands and wives, and they would fall upon the altar, and they would cry and weep and beg God. And before that revival get over with, they see people coming getting saved. Because the Bible says that they that go sowing, weeping, tears mean something to God. And what I found was this. I found that when I got humble and I began to cry to God and I got a contrite heart and I got a broken heart, I found that God come down and He told me and give me that comfort of His word. He said, just wait upon the Lord. And I learned that meant not to just be patient. That meant to go about my business and let God take care of those things. And you know what? David was talking about the same thing. He said, you know what? I had one thing I could trust in is the Word of God. And folks, can I tell you this? Even though sometimes when we get ourselves in positions that we shouldn't be in, we can cry out for the mercy of God, but you know something? We can look to the Word of God and we can trust. Look on, if you would, real quickly. He says in verse 9, he says, when I cried unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. How did he know that? Because he'd done anointed him to be king. He'd done promised him. And can I tell you this? As a child of God, God is for you. And if you're in the family of God, God is for you. And so therefore, even God, we was talking about how that God takes bad things and make good things out of them. Even some of our worst blunders, God finds ways of bringing something good out of it. Look on real quickly, I'm going to close. It says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. In other words, instead of fear now, he's praising God. He's lifting up. He says in verse 13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of living? He said, God, you saved me. Now, if you can save me, you can get me out of this mess. I'm just going to trust in you. Folks, I cannot tell you. Now, listen, this is the gist of where I want to go tonight. I cannot tell you how important it is for you to have the Word of God. Because when you, and you will, go through those trials, those tribulations, those troubles, those challenges, sometimes it will be from family, sometimes it will be from friends, sometimes it will be from foes. But when you do, there will be times in your life you have nothing else but the Word of God to hold on to. And if you don't hide it in your heart, you're going to feel awful naked and alone when you get to those places. But to be able to have the Word of God and the trust in His Word, it takes away the fear of what man in this old life and this old world can do to you. We just need to learn to trust in God. Amen. Let's stand if you would. Give song.